just being an Alaskan. And I'm especially nervous to even talk about it because the member who offered the amendment to the amendment has lived in Metlakatla, the only Native reservation in the state, Nome, Naknek, Fairbanks, and Anchorage. We couldn't have someone from a more diverse background, but that to me says maybe maybe this amendment shouldn't try to pretend that all the people from all those five communities are the same, that we should recognize the differences in their need for resources and their need for certain considerations. So I speak against the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Ledoux.
Yes, maybe I could offer a suggestion which would do what everybody, I think, might like to do. Instead of saying on which Alaskans depend, why don't we just say on which many Alaskans depend?
Representative Ledoux, we would have to, you're only able to amend the amendment once. So we will deal with this amendment to the amendment. If it fails, or even if it passes, you'll have your opportunity then to come back and amend again. So, point is out of order. Representative, Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. We're not going to wordsmith our way out of this problem. And I don't think we should try. I think this is the kind of problem we need to confront head on. That's the respectful way of engaging dissent. I think we should open ANWR. I disagree with the Gwich'in on that front, but I'm not afraid to use the word. Mr. Speaker, we need to do a lot in this state to heal some of the divisions that exist. And acknowledging that people exist who disagree with us is just a simple way of showing human or treating people with basic dignity. I think the Gwich'in are wrong, but I'm not afraid to tell them that to their face.
Representative Jill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking against the amendment to the amendment, it gets away from showing that, number one, as it relates specifically to the 1002 area, that there, in addition to local residents, there are two Aboriginal groups who utilize this resource. And their positions on whether or not we should open up that area are different as well. And I think that's it's okay. And so because of that, I'm speaking against the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the amendment to the amendment, I saw this as I was sitting here on other debates. I tried to think of ways to include all Alaskans into there to try to avoid what happened yesterday when, quite frankly, I was offended by some remarks by some members on the debate on the other bill. And I tried to get away from having the same thing happen again today by doing that. And I certainly meant no offense to anybody by doing this. The problem that I've got with the straight amendment is it's a purely political arena that we are sending this into. I believe in my very soul that we can develop ANWR responsibly. We can do well for the people that live there. We can do well for all of the people in the state of Alaska. I believe that wholeheartedly. And if we pass something that even in the slightest bit has a chance that it is used against us by this faction and that faction, and we all do it, we're all in a political arena here. You look at a statistical report and you spin it this way and you spin it that way. And that's the problem that I've got with the language in the amendment. So I tried to fix that political problem without stepping on toes, and obviously I failed to do that. So with that, I'll withdraw the amendment to the amendment, but I'm not going to support the amendment then, because as we go into that next political arena, we do not want to give ammunition to the people that oppose what the resolution says. And I know that's not what we're saying, but sometimes what you say and what people hear are different things. So, Mr. Speaker, and that's the problem. I said I was hurt yesterday on some of the comments that got made. And I certainly don't want to go down that road again, but I will withdraw the amendment to the amendment, but I will not be supporting the amendment.
Okay, Representative Samuels has withdrawn his amendment to the amendment. So we're back in front with, in front of the House is amendment number 3. Representative Salmon.
Mr. Speaker, he's dropped the amendment, so that solved that problem.
Okay. Representative Ledoux.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I would like to offer an amendment with saying levels of the porcupine caribou herd on which many Alaskans depend. And I think that solves the problem that not all Alaskans may depend upon it, and yet it acknowledges that many people do depend upon it.
There is an objection. Brief it is. Representative Ledoux?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I withdraw that amendment to the amendment.
Okay, we have in front of us amendment number 3. Is there any debate on amendment number 3? Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank both of the previous speakers for withdrawing amendments to the amendment. You know, this is at the heart of the concern that I have about the whole issue, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that makes an argument stronger than by facing what it is you're worried about. And those of you that are concerned about mentioning the word Gwich'in should take, in my opinion, another look at it. This is at the heart of many people's concerns, but the strength of being able to recognize, one, that people exist, two, what their cultural heritage is, and three, being able to argue back in a respectful manner goes a long way toward showing what kind of a body we are and what kind of a state we are. I just want to mention one other quick fact, and that is that there is another group mentioned, another indigenous group mentioned on the front page of the amendment. To then turn around and not mention the Gwich'in to me seems just at the heart of what some people's problems really are. So I'd really urge passage of this amendment. Stand up for what we did the first time. Thank you.
Any other debate on the amendment? Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker said pretty much what I wanted to say. I would add that I think it's hugely important for us to emphasize here that we understand the concerns of the indigenous people and others who live there. We acknowledge them, and we, and I'll underline this verbally, respectfully disagree. I believe that we can open ANWR, we can do it without interfering with or damaging traditional uses of the land. Thank you.
Is there any other debate? Representative Kapsner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I understand that this caribou herd resource belongs to all Alaskans, but it's one that the Gwich'in seriously depend on to put a lot of meat on their table. The prices of stove oil are very high for them. They get limited fresh fruit and other meat available to them in their stores, and when they do, it's for a very high price. There are few wage economy jobs to provide income to pay for what's in the store. So really, this is putting meat on the table for people, and this is in their backyard. And a lot of us, when it comes to issues that affect our backyards, we jealously guard those issues and are very concerned about them. And for this reason, I'll be supporting this.
Any other debate on amendment number 3? You ready for the question? There's a call placed on the House. Call has been satisfied. Are we ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 3 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
17 yeas, 20 nays.
And so with a vote of 17 yeas and 20 nays, Amendment number 3 has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk, do we have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution number 2 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, then we will be in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the resolution for the third and final time.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, amended House, urging the United States Congress to pass legislation to open the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, Alaska, to oil and gas exploration, development, and production.
Representative Samuels.
You could resolution vote yes.
Is there any other debate on the resolution? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think that anybody has any doubt about where I stand on this resolution. I've gone across the country trying to talk other Democrats, fellow Democrats, into opening ANWR. I believe that we can do it responsibly. I see no good reason not to open ANWR. I will continue to work for it. It's the right thing to do, I believe. But it just makes me so dadgum furious that we couldn't even mention the word Gwich'in in the last amendment, that it makes me so furious that I feel like voting against it. I just I'm upset that we can't make a statement that at least acknowledges that there's a problem. It just infuriates me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there any other debate? Representative Curtula.
And it forces those of us who can't look the Gwich'in in the eye to vote against this. And that's a really, really hard thing to do, I want to tell you. But this is precisely the kind of thing that splits us, and I'm voting no. Thank you.
Any other debate on the resolution? Representative Kapsner.
Hey, I'm all for ANWR. Let's open it. Thumbs up. And we already said that, so why are we saying it again? On days like today, I miss Ramona Barnes. I still have her in my cell phone, phone book, because I miss her so much. And I really appreciate the fact that I got to serve with her for 2 years, not because we agreed on any issue. There was maybe two issues that we agreed on. But she was so great because she'd stand back there, and the minute somebody said the six-letter S word, she'd be up and in your face and on the record. You do not do that. We act independently of the other body. The minute people tried to move bills out of committee that weren't done to the satisfaction of that committee and they said, oh, we're going to send it to House Finance next, it can get fixed there, she'd say, uh-uh, we are not doing that like this. We are going to do everything the right way. We're going to stick up for our House. We're going to stick up for our committee. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to do it by the book. And for those of us who hadn't read the book, she was right there being the book. And I really wish she was here today to be the book now and say, no, we've already passed this resolution. Let's stick with our guns.
Any other debate? Representative Salmon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Why is it so quiet in here? Anyway, you're talking to a Gwich'in. We were raised in that country. We depended on that for a long time. And it's just really embarrassing to say, I mean, we can't face, you know, the people. I mean, all of a sudden, we used to be the real Alaskans, the real true Alaskans. Now we've been invaded by this, I don't know, it seemed like devil or something, you know? I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, I even hate to stand up here and talk. I mean, why are we talking, you know? I mean, why, we say we're Alaskans, and Alaskan spirits that I remember is just happy, you know? We don't care who you are, you know? We're here to survive in the land of coal and, you know, freedom, you know? Whatever we call freedom in the United States. And we mentioned the word Gwich'in or Inupiaq, you know?
I mean, what's wrong with that? It doesn't hurt us. I mean, we're here. We're going to be here when we run out of timber, when we run out of oil, when we run out of fish. Then what are you going to do? You know, we'll still be here. You know, we've been here for 12,000 years. We're going to be here 12 more thousand years, believe it or not, unless you people kill us. So we need to work together. Try to come together somewhere, you know? We're proud people. The whole Alaskan is proud people. We call ourselves First Natives or whatever you want to call us. Eskimo, Athabascans, Tlinkets. We're still Alaskans. So in doing so, I mean, you know, I mean, Anwar is a big, it's probably the reason why I'm voting against it is because of the, look what happened down in Valdez. I spoke last time, you know. Same thing, you know, the biggest environmental disaster. Ted Stevens didn't talk about that, you know. It killed the whole fishing industry in Alaska. Nobody said nothing about that, you know. What comes out of the ground out there destroyed everything down there in Valdez. Nobody spoke nothing of it. And we're still in courts about that. Nobody got no money out of it. So the fishermen is the one that got the, you know, short end of the stick on that. So with that, you know, thank you.
Any other debate? Representative Sisson.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, this resolution, as all of our resolutions on opening ANWR, have ignored important financial and social cost issues that that come with the development of this refuge. What it doesn't do, what this resolution and none of the resolutions can do, is develop negotiations that have to precede it. And some of those negotiations would be on Alaskan hire. In this resolution, there's nothing about Alaskan hire. There can't be any real discussion about Alaska hire until we start opening up that negotiation. Another thing that we have never, I don't think we've talked about in this body, but it really has to be addressed if you're really going to look at the cost of opening up ANWR, and that is what happened and it's happened with all of our huge developments, and that is you have this huge hype about how many people are going to come to the state. And so what happens is you don't just get the skilled people who know how to do that job that come to the state, but you also get many semi and unskilled workers that come. And I say that knowing very well because I've worked in social services, and I can tell you that the grandkids that I've worked with represent some of those unskilled workers that come to the state and they look for work, they can't find it, and because they don't have the money to leave, they're stuck on our social services for generations. That is one of the costs. And what we have to put out is we have to put out more money for education. We have to put out more money for social services. That needs to be built into the development. And then you can remedy what that does. It's going to happen. It's how many thousands of jobs are going to be created? We know that that's going to put an enormous load on our educational and social services, and that's part of the cost of development. Mr. Speaker, that is part of the cost that must be established before you ask Congress to open this, because after we've asked them to open it, we lose our strategic leverage that we have by working it through while there's still the tension. If we don't ask for those absolutely imperative cost remedies, then we wind up in exactly the situation we're in right now. Declining oil reserves, $1.8 billion in social services, and I really believe that there's a portion of that could be remedied if had we dealt with it right when it happened 30 years ago. It's a lesson learned. And Mr. Speaker, this state, like many states with rich natural resources, like many other states, devalues or undervalues our natural resources. And I say we've got to value them. I say we've got to negotiate first and then ask. After we've got a really great price, after we've got remedies for the development. Thank you.
Any other debate, Representative Croft?
Mr. Speaker,
I don't insist, but that's all right.
Oh, I thought I was doing it for you. This is, lost count, but probably the sixth time I've voted for this, never voted against it, the sixth time it's been before me and I've voted for it. Probably once each session, and then this time twice for whatever reason. I don't think we've done it twice before. One time we even tried to put an amendment that says, and that's the way we feel until we change our minds. We wouldn't have to do this every 2 years. You know, it's like, we'll call you when we have, if we have any different opinion, we'll send you another letter. But people didn't want to do that, so we keep doing it every 2 years. It's puzzling to me that we wouldn't, and I wish I'd been quicker on the draw, because I could have done an amendment that said, there's a certain group that's depended on it for 10,000 years, and it starts with a G. Maybe that would have worked, you know. Say like seven letters and hinted at it for them. So we wouldn't have to say it, but we could tell them we knew they were there. Sounds like, you know, do sort of a charades thing in our resolution. Two syllables, it's got a little apostrophe thing, I think. See if they got it. The point is, we're very close to, and this debate is tough because there are sort of extremes on both sides, and there certainly are on the extremes on the people that want to keep it shut. But there is this sort of middle ground that we're trying to talk to. Moderate Republican or conservative Democratic senators, if you will, that group that has heard both sides and isn't sure, maybe leaning towards protecting it, but we have a chance of pulling them over. They have a legitimate concern about the environment. They have a legitimate concern about the people that rely on it. And we're never going to convince some people. Some people are always going to be convinced to open it. We've got to focus on that group in the middle that will be the swing votes on this. That's our chance always, but our chance this particular time. People that are leaning, concerned about these issues, but lean. And our challenge, and sometimes we haven't done this very well, I think, we've just sort of beaten on them or made them enemies if they'd voted ever against it. Our challenge is to explain to them that we share those values, that we understand and want to protect the environment, that we understand people have relied on it and don't want to harm that. That's our challenge, because if we can do that, if we can say, we understand, and let me prove to you that we will be sensitive to the environmental issues and will be sensitive to the legitimate concerns of the people that have relied on it, we can get some of those votes, enough to make it pass. We do ourselves a lot of harm in that fight, in that credibility fight with that middle ground, where the other side is constantly saying, no, they don't understand, and no, they won't protect it. They don't give a hot darn about the Gwich'in or anything else. They won't protect that people and that resource. And we're saying, yes, we will. We can protect it. Trust us. When we do something like we did today, where we won't even say the name of the people that are relying on it, we give a lot of support to the enemy. They use that and say, Alaska can't even recognize they exist, and you're going to trust them to protect, to develop in a way that is responsible for that group? We've done ourselves a lot of harm here today. And I've supported this time and time again. I will again today. But I want you to understand, we're fighting a credibility fight for the middle ground on Anwar. A fight we can win if we stop shooting ourselves in the foot as we did today. Because how are we ever going to convince those people who have those concerns, who say, in effect, prove to me that you want to protect the environment and that you understand that people have been relying on it for a while, and I'll let you open it. And we do this? How does that provide any credibility in that argument? In fact, I think we've given fodder for the other side. The resolution that we passed is more persuasive to the people who will be convinced, who can be convinced. And as I said, there are groups on either side that can't.
but we need to concentrate on the ones that can't. And I worry too often in the Arctic Power and Anwar fights, they've been preaching to their choir. They've been going down and taking people out to lunch who already support Anwar and not talking enough to the legitimate, wrong, but legitimate concerns of the middle group. For a lot of reasons, we should have stuck to the thing we did. For our own dynamics for the next 2 years between the House and the Senate. For our own pride, really. But more importantly, because it was a better, more persuasive document to the very people that we want to convince.
Any other debate? Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very fortunate in the district that I have the opportunity to serve, District 40. The top half of that district encompasses, in addition to the 1002 area, all of Prudhoe Bay, all of NPRA. The people of that district largely support the opening of Anwar, as do I. Next week, I'll be heading to Washington, D.C. with the Energy Council to try and help in that endeavor. Feel very strongly about opening up the coastal plain. With some of the debate that's going on, I think of the last 30 years and how development has occurred, and we have all of this hullabaloo when we talk about development on land. I hear very little about offshore, except from the people of the North. And there's a group at home that's up the North Slope that are the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission, an opposition to offshore development. Have they won many? I think they might have won a few. But they've also lost a few. But here's what happens sometimes with opposition. You set a mark. You set a standard. Does the development occur? Yes, it does. But because of that standard, those that who would develop have to move to a place that allows for the kind of environmental concerns that people have. And when I look at this, so I'll be glad that we can take something back to Washington next week. I really will. But I'm also mindful that there's a percentage of people out there who don't support it. And I respect that. I respect it. And I acknowledge it, that we have a difference. I would urge the passage of this resolution. And I just want to say in closing that Anwar and the 1002 area that we're talking about is not in the people of Kaktovik's backyard. It's front and center. And the people of Kaktovik overwhelmingly support the opening. And I would just ask that as we go down this road, and other roads, that as we continue to develop Alaska's resources and we strive for those partnerships with the people of Alaska, that we strive for those partnerships in all other areas as well.
Any other debate? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know how many people in this body have actually been out hunting at a caribou alone, let alone in the porcupine herd, but I have done that. And I've seen what they do up there, and I really feel very strongly, I wouldn't be able to vote for this if I really didn't feel that we could go up there, do what we need to do to get the oil and not hurt the environment and the areas that are involved there. I do want to publicly say, though, I feel ashamed of myself that I didn't vote for that last amendment. I didn't, and I wish now that I did. But anyway, this is a good resolution, and it would have probably been better, I think, if we would have left that in. Thank you.
Any other debate? Representative Weirop.
Mr. Speaker, I read an editorial in the Lincoln Journal of Lincoln, Nebraska, that opposed ANWR development because they're concerned that it would despoil a wild environmental area. And we know from our development of oil and gas technology in the state that development of ANWR will not despoil the environment. Also, I'm very happy and proud to support this resolution. It's incredibly important that we voice our strong support for the opening of ANWR, and I'm very glad that this has come over from the member from the other body, from Kenai, who introduced it here in front of us. I'll vote for this one. I'll vote for the House's resolution as well. Mr. Speaker, this will benefit not only Alaskans and public employees that work in the state of Alaska, our public infrastructure in the state of Alaska, our private sector development, but it will affect the shipping industry in California. It will benefit the investment industry in New York, the retirement industry in Florida and Arizona, the employment markets in the rest of the nation, the steel mills down south. This is a vitally important action that the United States of America takes, not just Alaska takes in developing ANWR. And I think it's a great resolution to vote for, and I'm proud to vote for it, and do, as our senior senator from this state indicated, send the letter from the former senator from New York, Mr. Buckley's letter to the Lincoln Journal, to educate them further on why they should change their position and support the opening of ANWR.
Any other debate?
Mr. Speaker, brief at ease.
Brief at ease. We're still going to have a little more debate, so it'll be all right. Sure. Just went to the bathroom. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. I campaigned in helping to create jobs. I mean, not the amendment, the bill, the resolution. I've been
whatever
waiting for so long. But anyway, I campaigned in my district and saying I wanted to create jobs. I have an unemployment rate that goes from 35% to 85% throughout my region. And I said, well, what's the best way to create jobs? Opening ANWR, building a gas pipeline. I've watched the evolution of the timber industry and it fall down and it's facing the southeast, lost 5,000 jobs. We lost many of our students. Fishing industry upside down. And so I campaigned for jobs and education. We can't fund education without some sort of industry. And so I stand in favor of the resolution.
Any other debate on the resolution? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I want to divide my comments into two parts. The first is a housekeeping matter, literally. And this is a sad day for this House. We did the Senate's dirty work today. We sent a resolution over to them that they didn't like.
The minority leader should use the not directly refer to the other body.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Speak to your point.
I think it's actually, whether he uses the name or not, in referring to the vote by which the other body acted. It doesn't matter the name. It matters the referring to what they did.
Minority Leader, just you know the rules. Don't refer to the action they took over there.
So. Okay, what happened in the Senate? Is what caused us to not defend the integrity of this house. And that's wrong. It's wrong for trust between the majority and the minority. It's wrong for the bicameral system we serve. It's wrong for the people of the state. If they want to take something out of a resolution we send over to them, make them do it. We're not here to rubber stamp them. We're here to exercise our own independent judgment. And there were people in this body who objected when that amendment went through the first time and were consistent. And that's fine. But when this House does something, anything, as an institution, it has an obligation to stand up for the product that we produce here. And the failure to do that has all kinds of ramifications. All kinds of ramifications, Mr. Speaker. I hope we find it in ourselves as an institution to show more strength in the future. As to the merits of this resolution, I know something about being a minority, and I know something about being in the minority. And I know that if you want to persuade me and comfort me, you need to use reason. Don't ignore me. Don't pretend I don't exist. Don't cause me to dig in my heels. You have to give me some ground, some dignified ground to stand on. And our failure to talk about the Gwich'in stole that dignified ground out from underneath us. And my friend from Anchorage, from District 25, and we served together for so long that it's like we each have half the same thought. This was just the wrong way to go if we're trying to persuade America to open ANWR. Because that's where the fight is. We're trying to persuade America to open ANWR. And we don't do that by just talking to the people who agree with us. We have to persuade people who disagree with us. We have to take their concerns and address them head on. You know, for many years, we've tried and failed to open ANWR. And each year, we put these resolutions forward. I recall another amendment we did where we were just going to delete all of the resolution, put in huge type, open ANWR. Well, that failed too. But if we're going to persuade people, we need to go to the merits of their arguments. And ignoring their arguments isn't persuasive. It's disrespectful. And it sets the cause of opening ANWR back. And so when I heard the argument earlier today that we can't talk about the Gwich'in because it's going to provide fodder for people who disagree with opening ANWR, it was Orwellian. That turned the whole argument upside down. If we don't address the issues from those who are arrayed against us, then how can we ever hope to persuade them? So, Mr. Speaker, I'm an advocate of opening ANWR. I voted for this resolution every time it's come before us. I just hope one day we'll show a little more intelligence about how we go about persuading people that disagree with us. A little more intelligence and a little more sensitivity.
Any more debate on the resolution? Representative Groenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There probably won't be any issues that every Alaskan will agree on. That's probably because we're Alaskans, among other reasons. Because we, as rational people and sometimes as irrational people, because we're all rational sometimes and irrational at other times, we're going to just disagree. But there are probably more people who agree on this issue, the need to open ANWR and to get some economic development reasonably in this state, than almost any other issue. And as a result, the bottom line vote on this in this House will be overwhelmingly for the the resolution, and it ought to be. And I'm not really speaking to that particular issue. What I am speaking to is a broader issue that's been touched on by a number of other people here. And it's been touched on in the interplay between this and the previous resolution we passed. And on the previous amendment, and the chair of LB&A, who left the floor momentarily, I kind of wanted to address what he said. He made a very interesting argument that really hasn't been addressed. And that is, if we mention one group of people, that happened to be the Gwich'ins, that might serve as a red flag to the opponents of the bill, the Anwar bill in Congress. I'd take the opposite position for just the reason I've mentioned. This is an issue that is so important to Alaskans that even if all segments of our society don't agree on the ultimate outcome, it is most important for the people in the United States to know that we considered all Alaskans. Because if we don't mention a group of people who have a real interest in this, that could be taken as a sign that we haven't considered their interests. And that's as important as one body considering the other's wishes in passing a bill first, or the majority and the minority's interaction with each other, or just the way Alaskans get along with each other and the way we get along with each other as 40 people who have to work together and live together and solve problems together for 121 days each year. And it's an issue that really transcends this bill. We must try to listen to each other and to respect each other's wishes and each other's points of view and to publicly acknowledge that we've done that fact. Because if we don't do that internally, then Congress will have every right to rejecting our wishes and not even considering them when they consider the Anwar issue on the floor of both houses of Congress. We can't expect others to do to us what we haven't done to each other.
Any other debate on the resolution? You ready for the question? Brief at ease. Order. The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 2, amended House...
Would you like to put a call in the House?
No.
We can't. Brief at ease. The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 2, amended House, pass the House in third reading? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
31 yeas, 4 nays.
And so with a vote of 31 yeas and 4 nays, Senate Joint Resolution 2, amended House, has passed the House. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's Representative Salmon.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to roll back the agenda to the introduction of guests.
Without objection, we'll roll back up the calendar to introduction of guests. Representative Sam.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce to the body Roy, over sitting on the Taylor Gallery, Roy Evan. I think I got it right. Do I have it right? And Dorothy Shine. both of Aetna in my district. Thank you.
Any other introduction of guests while we're here?
Mr. Speaker.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the member from District 8 who is not here, has a guest in the Taylor Gallery also. So would the body help welcome the Vice President of the Corporate Affairs with Aetna Corporation, Brenda Ribner. Ribney, I'm sorry.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, it's an honor for me today to have a couple more constituents here. They're also very good friends of mine, Amy and John Oney. They're in the Elizabeth Pratchevich Gallery, and they're down here to talk to us about assisted living home regulations. So please help me welcome Amy and John Oney.
Any other guests for introduction while we're here? Representative Gardner?
Brief at ease, please.
Brief at ease.
Thank you.
Any more guests for introduction while we're here? Not, we'll go back to citations, Madam Clerk.
Citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that citations on today's calendar be approved.
Hearing seeing no objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Madam Clerk, is there any unfinished business?
I have no unfinished business.
Is there any unfinished business in the body? Committee announcements. Mr. Representative Cott.
Speaker, the 12 o'clock Ledge Council meeting has been slipped to 12:30, so I'd ask members to show up promptly so we can not interrupt the activities of the other committees that may take place at a later time.
12:30 where? Did you just say?
Same place, same location.
Okay, all right.
Finance.
Any other committee announcements? Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, CRNA will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and 1:24.
Any other committee announcements? Any other announcements? Special orders? Representative Moses?
I'd like to remind you all that you're invited to the Great Onalaska Dutch Harbor crab feed tonight at 5:30 at the Baranoff Hotel.
That's under other announcements. Very good. Special orders. Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like permission to speak on the other ANWR.
Without objection, the other ANWR.
Thank you. I'm over my hyperventilating now, I think, so I apologize for letting that get away from me there. I've always said that I never lose my temper. It's always right here where I can access it quickly. In the Anchorage Daily News this morning, there's an editorial about renewable energy. I'd like for everybody here to read it because it talks about renewables, which is what Alaska could do other than opening ANWR, other than opening NPRA. Those are both good and laudable things to do, but there are a lot of jobs that could be had by going to wind and water, geothermal. There are huge coal reserves across Alaska. renewable ways to turn energy into hydrogen, that hydrogen that we could ship around the world. It's a whole new, brand new way of powering the world that will be here for centuries on after Anwar has come and gone. I've gone out and worked hard trying to get other people to see the light about why we should open Anwar, why we should open NPRA, but we also should work hard on our wind and water resources that we have. So I'd suggest that everybody take a look at that and think about the new hydrogen economy that's coming. Thank you.
Are there any other special orders? Representative Curtillo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, the topic's happy anniversary.
Without objection, happy anniversary.
Thank you, and I too think I might have lost a little of my temper, and I apologize for that. Today, driving in, I wasn't driving myself. I was reading the newspaper, and I just happened to cross a 50th wedding anniversary of two very, very dear people here in Juneau, Ed and Nancy Farrell. And when the minority leader was speaking about his favorite teachers and people who made an impact on them, I went back tonight, and you wouldn't know it, he was an English teacher, the way I'm speaking, but I went back to ninth grade and thought about Mr. Farrell and about all the time and energy that he put into his students and about how he taught us to critically think, taught us to write, and then taught us to love reading with all of the great books. The Great Gatsby remains one of my all-time favorites because of him. So his wife's an accomplished author herself. To Ed and Nancy Farrell, I just want to wish a happy anniversary on their 50th. Thank you.
Any other special orders? Representative Salmon.
Anniversary. Mr. Speaker.
Anniversary without objection. Representative Salmon.
Thank you. I think a couple days ago, my mom and dad had an anniversary. I'd just like to say happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, March 3rd.
Without objection, we will be in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, March 3rd.